Welcome back to Season 3 of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host, Jean Tien. This season, we explore the concept of truth. Each one of my guests has been handpicked by me for their powerful and inspiring stories of how they've been able to remove the social conditioning behind feedback and start to truly live that authentic, successful lifestyle. I hope that their stories will inspire you to start to do the same and find what success truly means to you. Welcome back to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic with me, your host, Jean Tien. I am so excited to have Andrea Johnson on my show today because she is the intentional optimist. And for somebody who has been generally a pessimist for most of my life, I am converting into optimism. I am just so excited to have you, Andrea, on the show. Share with us your insight, how you became the intentional optimist, and for the audience to learn more about you. So let's get started. Andrea, can you share with us a little bit about yourself, how you became the intentional optimist? What brought you to this point in your career?
Well, we only have like 30 minutes, right?
Yes.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with you again. Full disclosure, Jean is on my podcast as well. So you get to hear her story on my podcast and evidently my story on her podcast. So this should be a lot of fun. So I don't know that I would ever have said I was a pessimist, but I've always been a realist. And the big tipping point came when my mother, who fought breast cancer, well, lupus and then breast cancer for many years, passed away in 2017. It was just a wake-up call. I was 50. And I said, you know, I'm done playing small. I'm done not doing what I want to do. But I don't know how to get past this idea that things aren't working for me. And so I just sat down and did a brain dump, and I just kind of dug into all of the personal growth I'd been doing for years. And after kind of page after page after page, I actually found them the other day in my notes. There's just documents full of like words and phrases, and I kind of collected them all into like different pieces and ended up with 6 tenets. And those tenets were kind of loosely based on Proverbs 31, who, if you don't know, the woman mentioned in Proverbs 30, chapter 31, it's basically the queen mother is telling the king, you need to find a woman and this is what you need to look for. And I think that she's been misunderstood for many, many years as being this, I don't know, perfect little wife. And the reality is, when I took a look at her again, she's not. She's an amazing woman, and including a businesswoman and a philanthropist and a shipping magnate and a real estate developer. And he's well known because of her, right? And I thought, let's go with this, right? So what I did was basically put together this roadmap for myself. And looking back on it, you know, half the time we do things and we don't realize what we're doing. But what I was giving myself was a roadmap out of anxiety and fear and mediocrity and settling and letting somebody else decide for me. It was almost this, here are the stepping stones, Andrea, to being the critical thinker you like to think you are, mm-hmm. to making decisions for yourself and for helping other women to do the same thing. And so that's kind of how it started. And then it morphed into, well, I guess maybe I need to tell people about this. And I ended up starting a podcast when I was listening to another speaking coach say, is podcasting your next stage? And I'm like, yeah, it was during COVID. I was out in the middle of the workday weeding my garden. And I just had that in my ears and I stood up and said, yes. So it became, that's where I started sharing. I also have over 23 years as an administrator and operations manager in university medical settings. So on the university side of two pretty prominent universities in cancer research and other school of medicine jobs, and discovered that I love working with people. I just don't like managing people because managing by definition, and you and I have talked about this, is keeping the status quo. Yep. Let's just keep the system going. And I'm like, but the system is broken. The system sucks. So, but what I realized was I really like to help people. And so I was introduced to the opportunity to become a Maxwell leadership coach. And that meshed really well with my intentional optimism. And I said, I think this is what I'm going to do. And so finally, several years later, I went full time in my business in August of 2021. Like, what was it?
Congratulations.
What is it? Yes. And so it's been a journey. It's been a wild ride. And I'm now launching in the next several weeks a Patreon community that kind of goes behind the scenes because I'm not the I love showing up well made, right? I love showing up with the lipstick on and the purse that matches the shoes and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the real life we live. And part of my goal is to be the most authentic I can possibly be. So that new community is a look behind the scenes. It's like, what is it like to become and to apply these principles on a daily basis? When I get angry, when I get my emotional system gets completely triggered, what do I do? And so that's the newest venture to just kind of show people you can do this too. This is
I
not,
love that.
I'm not unique, right?
Yeah.
So.
I love that because I think social media has made it almost impossible to show that side. So the fact that you are taking it and showing the behind the scenes and being authentic about it too, right? Not glossing over, the real vulnerable and down and dirty stuff of what entrepreneurship looks like, I think can be so beneficial to all of us because you don't need to have your, like you said, you don't need to have it all together. In order to start something. And the fact that we can start, no matter how ugly or dirty or imperfect it is already, what I call quote unquote success in my book, right? Like
Yeah,
literally.
I
So
love that.
yeah. So we just blended the two together. So
Yeah.
yeah. So what is an intentional optimist?
So, an intentional optimist is somebody who knows themselves and wants to live in a way that both honors them and others. And there are six tenets to intentional optimism, but I'm also discovering that a lot of it is based on our core values. So, to know yourself, you kind of need to know who you are at your core. And so, when I know that, then I know how to start living. And the six tenets include optimistic, which is things like hopeful. And this is not toxic optimism. I'm just going to say it right now, because you can see all the sides. But it includes being willing to be proactive and make a plan. But optimistic, number two is present. Bob Goff says, be where your feet are. And that has been really helpful for me because I like to daydream about what it's going to be like when I lose the last 10 pounds or when I win that lottery ticket or, whatever. We all do that, right? So present for me and celebrating wonder. I'm in the middle of a 100-day project where I'm looking for wonder in my life and I get a little bogged down in the, well, I can only take so many pictures of flowers and birds and, so my friend was like, yeah, wherever you discover wonder. And I'm thinking, this is a good place right here, whereas being present and seeing how two women come together from different cultures and different backgrounds and can talk about things in a way that help bring other people together. The third is energetic, and that has to do with understanding where our energy comes from and where it goes and how we generate it, and that joy is the basis for most of that. Every time I say it, I get cold chills. The fourth is courage or courageous, and that's leadership. That's being willing to undauntedly make yourself an adventurer. And I like to I say these things because I'm not there yet, and I say I'm a challenge acceptor. It's like, no, not really. Don't do that. So courageous. And then wise is the fifth one. You can't go around the sun as many times as I have and not get some wisdom and just be willing to own that and say, you know what, as a 56-year-old woman, I have wisdom to share. So I've discovered that through that, I actually love coaching millennials. I love that age group. I love being able to say to younger women, now's not the time to sit back and think that you can't do something. You are poised. Let's go, so sharing wisdom. And then the last one, the sixth one, is intentional, which kind of bookends it all. Because you can want to be all those things, but if you don't set a plan, if you don't make yourself do it, if you don't say, this is my intention to do these things, you won't. And I won't. And so I've come to realize that I made this plan for myself, but I said it was for other people, but it was for me. And so now I can say, all right, if this resonates with you, let's go. Let's do this together. So an intentional optimist wants to live in ways that do that.
And it's so powerful when you can, at least you don't have to be an expert in each of the six tenets. If you just scratch the surface of just like a couple of them and we start there, like I feel like that can already shift a lot of people in terms of their mindset, their experience in life, and just, you know, the way that they see things in life, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it is a mindset shift. And I've been really surprised. I don't know if this happens for you with your success model, but I have clients. I work with both corporate consulting, and I do client work in there. And then I have private clients. And in my corporate work, I use more of the Maxwell stuff, and I use my DISC consulting, which is a whole other piece. But I've started giving them all of my, like, this is a 2-page document of what intentional optimism is. And here's my podcast. And, you know, I have one girl who has a binder, like she's super detailed. Like, oh, I've got all this stuff in me. And she said, I was out in the this is a medical type facility. She was out in the surgery suite and this thing happened. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. How do I deal with that? And she said, I went back and I flipped open. And it was like, oh, there it is. Courageous. I need to do this piece and be courageous.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was just to have somebody say, I referenced your work, but you're right. It doesn't have to be all of it. I'm not all of it. Right. If I was all of it, I would, like, the book would be out there. Not that by the time the book comes out, I will be all of it, but still it would be very different. And for me to say, I'm not it, right? This is a constant becoming and a constant growing. And I lived the life of thinking I had all the answers, Jean. That doesn't work. And so I just said, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I can help find them. And I think women work really well when we work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I said. Let's do that.
I think that that's so amazing. And there's a couple of things that I want to touch on there as well is, you know, I think the core value is something that you said earlier that I think really hit me because I was kind of stalking through your blog and there was one blog article I think you wrote recently about your core values, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's such an important part of the process in terms of becoming who we want to be, because it really is a necessary step in grounding, right? Who we are in the present and now and who we want to be going forward. But for so many of us, and for myself included, when I started this process, it was very difficult to know what my core values were because we've never been taught, well, what are our core values, right? Like we've never even been told to think about them. And so how did you get started and how do you recommend to others? Like, what do you recommend to somebody who's just starting out, who wants to know or to learn more about what their core values are? What would you recommend?
Well, the first thing is core values are very much in the atmosphere right now. I mean, people are saying them. And I want to make sure that we have good definitions.
Yeah.
There are values talked about. There are core values. And when other people give you something that you're supposed to take on, that is not a core value. Mm-hmm. It might be core to their teaching. It might be core to how you participate in society. But, you know, people say, well, I know what my values are. I'm like, great. Those are things you value. Your core values, the definition I use, are the things that are you no matter what. If you are 3, if you are 83, if you are happy, if you are sad, if you are married or single, if you are heterosexual or homosexual, they are you. No matter what, they have nothing to do with your religion or your beliefs or your politics, because those things all change. I mean, ask anybody who switched political parties, they change, right? Your core values are you at your core. And the best way I can explain it is the things that really make you angry are probably triggering a core value for you. So my top 3, I've said for a really long time, are freedom, authenticity, and community. And I've realized, but here's the thing, they don't change, but sometimes we get them even more clarified. Mm-hmm. You know, when you You ever clarified butter?
Yeah.
So you can, if you don't get all the cloudiness out, right? It's like you're almost there, you know, but real clarified butter is clear. And good olive oil is really clear. You know, I mean, it's like those kinds of things. You want it pure. So I'm realizing that the kind of the core in my need for community is just a need to belong. And so I was trying to manufacture that by creating communities like a Facebook group with 500 women in it and that kind of, and didn't get it there. And none of that happened. But I realized that it was through different life circumstances and friends speaking into my life that it was belonging. So freedom though, and I love to, this is a great one because a lot of people say, well, freedom is definitely a value for me, especially those of us in America. Or in the United States. And I said, but here's the deal. Freedom for me goes all the way down to the way I think. It's not about, I can be free if I'm just going to say this, I've never been incarcerated, but if I'm incarcerated, I can still be free because it's how I think. For instance, my mother used to say, and she just wanted to be inclusive, right? She's like, I got this new thing. Don't you like it? And it was this immediate quandary. What do I say? What if I don't like it? I can't be honest. She's telling me how to think. And I know people are sitting out there thinking, that's a little like hair splitting. I'm like, I know, but that's just, that's because it's that core for me. Or my husband would start a sentence with, wouldn't you agree that? Like, well, immediately the answer is no. Until, you know, you can ask me, what do you think about this? And, you know, when we don't honor our core values, we constantly feel that conflict. Being authentic goes right along with that. You know, it's how do I tell my mother I don't like that thing that she bought? Or what, how do I tell my husband that has stuck with me for through all of this journey for 28 years? How do I tell him, I don't agree, you know, because I want to be authentic and I want to belong, right? So they all go together. You can have anywhere from 3 to 5. I have a small course you can walk through. I have a freebie that is like, if you're paper oriented, that's totally free that you can walk through. But the best way to do it is look for the things that you really just can't live without, right? It's like, if you put faith and family and country on there, I'm just going to challenge you and say, this is going to come out. So what happens if our country implodes? What happens if, you know, and there have been plenty of countries throughout the world and throughout history that people have survived quite well in without having the country survive, right? So there are ways that we want to make them external, because when we look internally, then we, maybe people won't accept us if they know what our real core values are. But the disconfirming evidence there is that people have proved me wrong every time. And I led a workshop recently, and I'm going to start doing those as well, because I just had no idea that it would go over so well in a workshop setting, because it can be something that can take you 30 minutes or it can take you 3 months, you know. But one of the things I said, so why don't we want to know what our core values are? Why don't we not look inside? And this one woman piped up and she said, oh, it's because we're afraid we won't be accepted for what they are. I'm like, yeah. And we're afraid we're not going to like them. But here's the thing, you're never going to discover something about yourself that's true that you don't like. Now, you might discover a trait that you want to fix. But if it's something like freedom or the need for belonging, or this, these are things I treasure. So they're not just for me. I treasure it for you. I want you to belong. Therefore, everything for me is very welcoming. And that's how it shows up. And when it's undermined, I have a problem. And it's very easy for me to make decisions because I know what they are. So there's a lot of ways you can start. A lot of it is just looking at what upsets you and then go with the opposite.
Yeah. And I love the butter example because it goes so well with what you just said, with what upsets you, because when you clarify butter, you put it on heat, right? Like that's how you clarify it. So the heat is really where the upset, the anger, et cetera, if you think about it from an analogy perspective, and that will help you gain more clarity in terms of what your core values are. And I agree 100%. It's when you have your core values and you make your decisions that are aligned with them, things just become, I don't want to say easier, but they become a little bit more easy, right? Like there's more ease to the decisions, to the way that we live, to, you know, the way that we behave, because we know that they are true to who we are. And I think this is so important for anybody who's really looking to you know, I think to find that aspect of themselves of how do they make their lives a little easier? Like, this is really just such a critical part of the process.
Yeah, and I like to say once you have them and you know what they are, it's like putting those bumpers in the bowling alley lane, right? It's like your ball's not going to go in the gutter. And I think for some of us, it can feel restrictive, but the reality is when you know what lane you're supposed to be in, everybody else knows what lane you're supposed to be in. It makes setting your boundaries very easy. It makes communicating much more gracious. Yeah, that just really, I'm sorry, this is really important for me. And that just upsets me, you know? And if they have a problem with that, it's like, yeah, you're just gonna have a problem with me, evidently. You know, it kind of takes the emotion out of things. And I like to tell people they uncover their core values because they're in there. They're just sometimes they're just we don't have the soil, they're all down in the soil. And so yeah, it helps me make decisions. If I'm offered an opportunity and it restricts my freedom, I'm probably not gonna do it.
Or you do it and you realize, you know, with kind of like a consciousness that
True.
it's not going to be, you know, the best, right? But you decide for some reason or another that you want to go through with it. But I agree, like it's being aware that this is what's happening. And the other thing that I love what you said too is that it's not fake optimism or bypassing, right? The feelings. And I think that's something that, you know, I'm trying to teach my 12-year-old, which is very difficult for them to be able to understand that concept of like, no, that you really don't believe that because, you know, you kind of break. And I think this is the best example is that I think so many people, you know, they go into this situation like my 12-year-old, he goes in and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do really well. And then when pressure comes along, meaning there's challenges that comes along, he automatically cracks under that pressure and it just falls apart. And that's when you can tell, like, it's not real optimism, right? It's not real confidence. And it's very difficult explaining that to a 12-year-old, but it is so important to have that authentic optimism, like to really believe in what it is that, you know, like you're looking for, right? And so, how can people gain that optimism that's like the real hardcore optimism that will be that will withstand the pressure?
So I have a 14-year-old that's very similar, 14-year-old boy. so we can
Mine's a
share
boy
those.
too,
Yeah, we can
yeah.
swap stories.
Rough.
But for me, I don't know if you know Enneagram stuff, but I'm a DISC coach, but I'm also I understand Enneagram, and I'm a Enneagram 6 with a very strong 7 wing. And the 6 is always afraid of what's going to happen. It's like the anxiety is very high. And so planning is a big deal for me. But what I had to understand was it's okay to be able to see the bad thing that could happen. It's what you do with it. And I literally had this conversation. I take my son to school every day. And I had this conversation with him because he had done something that he got in trouble for. And I said, so it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean that you've done something that can never be repaired. It's just, what are you going to do now that you know that happened? It's like exactly like you were talking about with awareness. I mean, how did we survive with parents who weren't coaches? But I said, this is how we learn. Every opportunity that we have, every challenge that we have is learning. And when we take those opportunities to say, what did I, reflect on it? What did I get from this? Excuse me. Where am I going with it? And what can I do differently next time? That gives us that ability to develop the muscle of hope, develop the muscles of courage and resilience. And when you have resilience, then you automatically think, well, I didn't, if I didn't die, then next time I can, do differently. And for me as a realist, I get all in my head and I start thinking and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I even had a situation last night where I'm like, I know this is 70% me and 30% that situation, but wasn't it really bad? And my husband was like, sure, And but what I did was I took the opportunity to say, you know what though? My relationships are not destroyed. Everything is okay. And I am going to take this information and move forward. And that's really what it's about. It's a lifestyle. Choosing to have an optimistic outlook is a whole lot more about how you choose to see the future than it is about how than it is about how the future really is. And, you know, I choose to say, I am going to have hope. I am going to have courage, because 9 times out of 10, just like Seneca said, it's like, luck is where opportunity meets preparation. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I want to be. I always want to be in the situation where I've done what I need to do for myself. Mm-hmm. Whatever comes along, I'm ready to go, which means it's always going to be better because I'm getting better. And another thing I tell my clients and even my son is, the future can be better because you get to make choices.
Mm. Yeah. And that's such an important piece of advice, right? Is that we get to make our choices, which I think is something that gets, I mean, that truly gets overlooked in so many of our situations. And so I'm glad you brought up clients, because I wanted to ask you, like, who are the people that normally come to you for coaching?
So on the corporate side, I tend to work with middle managers and lower junior C-suite kind of people. I tend to mostly work with women. I say I'm a women's empowerment coach, mm-hmm. and leadership. But I tell you, I just have grown to love millennials. And I love the fact that they are right at that sweet age where they have enough authority, they have enough confidence, they have enough life skills and enough experience to say, you know what, I think I might want to do something different. So private clients that come to me are usually women who want to be bigger and better than they are. Any coach is going to tell you that you can probably get there on your own. It just might take you a lot longer. So I do kind of a hybrid style coaching. I can walk people through. I'm licensed to do John Maxwell books. So mm-hmm. I do that. But I also have a small group program that is literally women who meet twice a month. And we kind of set goals and intentions for the month. And we encourage each other. And we come back in and we just check in. And I kind of teach intentional optimism in there. So those are my main kinds of clients. But I also am launching a Patreon community. So, that's going to be a different kind of client. That's mm-hmm. mostly just the listening. But it will have there. I'll be posting in there and that kind of thing. So that's the kind of clients that I talk to.
That's awesome. And where can they find more information about all of your programs and how to work with you, whether it's a workshop or one-on-one, and even on your new Patreon, subscription?
Sure. My website is theintentionaloptimist.com, and it has a "the" in front of it. So on social media, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn as Andrea Johnson or The Intentional Optimist most of the time. I have business accounts. Like even you can find everything though on my, if you go to my website and then put in the /links with a capital L, you'll find all of them, because I'm kind of a little everywhere. So I may pare some of that back. Every once in a while I have to simplify, but that's pretty much where you can find me. And we'll update all the stuff with every time we start something new, we'll update it. So it's there.
Yeah. And definitely check out Andrea's blogs, because they're so well written. I was going through some of them, and I love just how you share, and everything is just so informational as well. Like from not only what you teach, but also incorporating it into your personal life story. So I
thank you.
Want to recommend to the audience to check that out too.
Thank you.
And there is one last question that I've been asking all of my guests for this season, because the season's theme is truth. And specifically, yes. And specifically, you know, I'm hoping, or my goal is that the audience will listen to these episodes and it'll inspire them or empower them to look for their own truth behind success. So the question for you is, what is your truth for success? Or what is your truth behind success?
Number one, it is mine. It is uniquely mine. Mm-hmm. And I need to trust that it's mine. And I need to allow others to see it. So the simple fact that I've been given a message is enough truth to move forward.
I love that. I love it. And so for the audience members out there, before I even go there, sorry, is there one last piece of advice or anything you want to share with the audience before we end for today?
Well, I think it's just that don't ever think that you don't have the ability to be something amazing. Every single person is created uniquely with a specific reason, and you're here for us. quite frankly. if you think that, you know, I'm not here for anybody, it's like, yes, you're here for us. And if you don't become all that you could be, we are missing out. So please give us the gift of becoming all that you can be.
Yeah, that's such a powerful advice as well. Thank you so much for being on this show. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and all about the intentional optimist process and tenets. I love it. It's so informative. And so for the audience members that want to learn more, definitely check out Andrea. I love her. Actually, what I was going to say was I love your Instagram because I know that you go and you share stories about your son and then you share affirmations. And so it's so good in and of itself, but definitely follow her there. And talk to you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.